Valerie and Lucas for sharing that with us. I was actually looking up to see if was there a track playing, but then I realized no, that's just the angelic voice of Lucas accompanying the other angel that's singing on the other side. Thank you so much. What a blessing to know that in all the things that we think might separate us from God, and this just kept going through my head, is there's nothing that can separate us from God. And when there are moments where our actions or anything like that tries to keep us from the love of God, it is an amazing thing to know that mercy says no. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you slip away. Thank you. Our scripture today comes from Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. And I'm going to read to you from the King James Version, starting at verse 25, the New King James Version of Matthew 6, verse 25. And the Bible says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet they say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." The title of our sermon today is First Things First. First Things First. Let's bow our heads for prayer. God, as we come to you today with our worries, with our concerns, God, may you teach us how to live life. May you remind us to put the right priorities first. May we put first things first as we come to you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. As I was reading this text, I was reading it over and over again. And I realized that as I was reading those verses that preceded this well-known text were so intricately connected with it that we could not just overlook it. This text we know and we quote to each other in times of great concern, when there are things that are happening in our lives that we cannot control, when there are places where we do not know if God is truly there. And so we worry. And so we quote this text to ourselves and to our friends to comfort them in their times of need, in their moments of dissatisfaction with life, in their moments where they just don't know if they can hang on. And as I read this, I realized maybe I needed to take some more time to understand what God was really saying through this text. If we were to read a little bit further up in verse 19, begins 19 through 24 begins a series of three stories that are associated with the first text that begins therefore. Those of us who have trialed over our papers in English class, whether it's in high school or in academy or in the university or in the community college, we know that the word therefore means that something is connected with what we are saying before we got to what comes after therefore. And so as I was reading, I realized, well, there was something that he was saying therefore for. There was a reason. And so as I went back and I read that, I realized that there were three contrasts that God makes before he uses the word therefore. The first, in verse 19 through 21, talks about laying up your treasures in heaven. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth can destroy and where rust can cover it all up. But lay treasures in heaven. And here the contrast is with earth and with heaven. And it seems to be that although we live in two worlds, those two worlds cannot be both our priority. Although we may live on earth, and although we belong to the kingdom of heaven, we have to choose which one of the two we will be loyal to. And when Jesus was speaking, he was not speaking to those who were poor. Jesus was speaking to those who already were wealthy. He was chastising even some of those who already had more than enough than what they needed to survive. And he was telling them, don't allow yourselves to be so focused on what you can have here. I was researching some of the stuff here, and one of the commentators had said, some of us go on mission trips, and we realize that there are those who may not have the things that we take for granted every day, and we realize that it doesn't take those objects, it doesn't take that lifestyle in order to gain happiness. And when we go and we realize that there are those who may have less than we do, but yet have a happiness and a joy that we have yet to experience, we can see a piece of the power of this text. Do not lay for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then it talks about the lamp of the body in verse 22 to 23 and how the eye is the lamp of the body. And it talks about this because in that time it was believed that the eye was like the sun and that the sun let light go into the body that would then guide a person's lifestyle. And it says, but if your eye is bad, and what some of us may remember, those of us who have gone to Disneyland, recognize that on one of the rides there is something called an evil eye. And it comes from this phrase which is being referred to, the eye that is bad. And it contrasts light and darkness with the eye, with the good eye, which means that you are selfless and that you are giving and that you are a person that thinks of other people or of that person that has this evil eye who is selfish, who thinks only of themselves, who is deceitful and who cannot be trusted. And the third contrast is you cannot serve God. And in my Bible, it says mammon, which is the Aramaic word for wealth. And the Bible says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so the Bible here is talking mostly about people who have more than what they need and still feel like it is not enough. And God says, Jesus says to the crowd, therefore, talking about earth versus heaven, talking about the good eye versus the evil eye, talking about serving God or serving wealth. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Don't worry about the types of food that you will eat or the types of drinks that you will drink that will give you this sense of being there, having achieved this recognition for the type of style that you have. And you know, I was reading this, and I have to admit, I was talking to Kelly about this, and I screamed a little bit, and I said, "Ah!" But I like looking cute, I told her. But I like having these things that put me in a place where I feel like I can express who I am by what I wear. And God says, Josie, first things first. God doesn't tell us to put those things away, but God tells us to make first things first. And suddenly you realize, well, maybe the money that I put towards these things, maybe I could give in another way. Maybe I could cut back on the things that I like so much so that someone else's life may be furthered in a better way. Maybe I cannot worry so much about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to drink and make sure that the things that I do have that I share with those who don't. And as long as my priority is in furthering the kingdom of God, then I have the point that Jesus was trying to make. That for those of us that have, and some of us may think, well, what do I have? You have so much to give. Some of us put our finances and our money and our wealth and things that make us happy. And this verse has, these verses have challenged me to give up the comforts in life so that those who may not have what I have, or those who may not be as comfortable as I am, or maybe for supporting the people or supporting the acts of the church, is something that I can give. I let go of some things so that I can give like Jesus gave. And God says to us, don't worry about those things. Look at the birds of the air, and they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And all these things, have you ever had something that wasn't important that you made a huge deal about in life? Like an argument that you had, and then you realize later, why in the world did I get angry about something like that? Now I have to mend this relationship that if I had just been nicer about and not yelled about or not made a big deal about, then maybe I wouldn't be in this predicament that I'm in right now. And maybe if I had put my first priorities in relationship, both relationship with God and in the relationships with people, and stopped worrying about the things that make me comfortable, maybe, then, just maybe, my life might improve. And God says, first things first, don't worry. And why do we worry? We worry because there are things that we place in the forefront of our mind that we do not need to have there. When the one thing that we are wanting to get done isn't done, we worry. When things aren't going according to plan, we worry. And in the same way that we worry about things that we cannot fix, or we over-worry about what we can do, we tend to then allow ourselves to be the answer or the solution to our own prayers. What is it? What is it that you worry about? It's frustrating because we are taught in our lives that we must be of value by giving, by doing. That if we could just have a vision for where our life is to be, for where our business is to go, for where our family is to go, in what direction are we going and how do we get there, if we do those things and then our lives will be better. How many of us have those family members that just ask and ask and ask? Those family members that really put us in an uncomfortable position because they, unlike us, do not plan for their future. They, unlike us, do not have these priorities in their lives. They don't have the skill of planning. They don't have these worries. They assume I'm going to take care of them. And I was questioning, how is that connected? So am I supposed to take care of people who are freeloading in my life? And is that what God is calling me to do while I am being faithful with the things that God has given me? And other people are taking their things and throwing them away and being unfaithful and unwise in how they use their finances and how they use what little they have and expecting me to take care of them along with the rest of my family and myself. But I read along. And in verse 26, he gives us an example of what that looks like. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? We have a bird's nest outside. And for those of you who were here at the beginning of the summer, we all took pictures of the hummingbirds. And we would see that the parent hummingbird would go around and gather the food and bring it back to its children. And I realized that as that was going on, that maybe God was telling us that He has provided for us, but we have to look for the things that God has given us. That perhaps not worrying doesn't mean that we are to be lazy, but perhaps not worrying means that we move forward even though we do not know where we will get all that we need. And maybe, just like the birds of the air, we have to get our hands dirty and we have to dig in the ground, but nevertheless, there will be something there. And he says, look at these birds in the air, and they don't reap, they don't sow, but I do provide for them. And look at the lilies of the field, and he describes Solomon as Solomon in all his glory did not look this good. And we read that verse and we may think, oh yeah, well, Solomon was the wisest guy, and he was this and he was that, but this isn't something that puts Solomon in a good light. This is a verse that says, look at Solomon in all his glory, in all those moments where he sought to make himself look good, with all those wives that he had, with all those things, this wealth, with all the taxation he did. Solomon wasn't the best king. He may have been the wisest, but that doesn't mean he always made wise choices. And it was saying that even Solomon, as he tried to glorify himself, did not look as good as this field here that God provides for, as this field that God has glorified. And how much more in our own lives, if we stop trying to do things to make ourselves look good, how much more would our lives be glorified because the one thing that we depend on is God to give us any glory? How much more of a body of Christ would we be if the one thing in our lives was to practice every single day leaning on Jesus? Practice waiting on God. Stop trying so hard to make things happen and fit in our little box of organization of how life should be according to me. How about if for once in our lives we waited on God and let Him work? While I was being faithful to Him, while I was seeking Him with my whole heart, and man, I have to tell you, this challenges me because my personality, I am a doer. I like to go and get things done. I don't like to talk about things. I like to do it and then talk about it later. Because I feel sometimes people just love to talk and talk and talk about how we can make things better, and then nobody ever leaves that meeting room. And so I have just always been this person that just, let's do this, do this, do this, and sometimes doing gets me into a lot of trouble. And I have this verse, and I read it, and it challenges me, Josie, maybe you should just wait. Before you move forward, maybe God is doing something. And maybe you can just hold that anxiety on the inside for just a little bit longer until we all know we're all on that same page. Until we all know and allow God in His process, in His time, to change the hearts and the lives of people, to convict people in a way that moves them not to do, but to be in a deeper relationship with God. I was talking to Kelly today, or the other day, and she shared a verse with me, because we were just talking about life. And she said, you know, I had one of those hard days. And she's like the second Holy Spirit. She always has something to say. When God says something to her, everybody knows that God has something to say to them, because God always uses Kelly to remind people that God is working with them. And she said, you know, I had this verse in my inbox, and it was one of those verse of the days that you have. And she said, I was having a tough day, and I opened this inbox, and this is what it said. It was in a different version, but in my version it says, in my distress or in my trials, I cried to the Lord and He heard me. We live in a fast-paced society. We live in a society of, I want it now. We stay in our cars to pick up food so we can eat while we're driving, so we are efficient with our time. We have online banking where you can take a picture of your check instead of going to the ATM or to the bank to deposit it. We have all these things that are at our fingertips, but sometimes it's a lot easier to control these things at our fingertip than it is to recognize that we cannot control God or God's timing. And there are circumstances and situations where we have to claim the text in Psalm 120 that says, in my distress, in my trouble, when I didn't know what to do, when I felt like life was it, When things weren't going to get any better, I cried to the Lord, and I will believe that He heard me. And I will believe that God knows more than I do. I will believe that God can see a bigger picture than I can see. And I will claim this text, and I'll stop worrying about the certain circumstances or situations in my life. I'm going to stop worrying about these materialistic things about wealth and how much I will acquire. I will stop worrying about whether or not I will have enough for tomorrow, and I will trust that God will take care of me now. And even when it doesn't look like how I think God should work, because aren't we so good at giving God advice? We are so good at being the CEOs of heaven and telling God how things should be done so that his kingdom will work right. Because God, right now, your kingdom is not working as such. And we take these moments and we give God advice as to how he's supposed to do things so that we feel comfortable. But God says, take all those things that you are holding so tightly in your hand that are not bringing you into a deeper relationship to me, but are keeping you from coming into a deeper, intimate relationship with me. Let those things go and let me so envelop you with my arms of grace. Let me speak to you through the people that you would not think are likely. Man, God loves to humble us by using people that we don't even think have a relationship with God to tell us that we need to get right with God. Has God ever done that to you in your life? God does that to me over and over again. God uses people I would never expect, random people off the street when I have my mind on what I'm going to eat. And God stops me for a moment and says, Josie, I have a message for you. I want to comfort you. I want to let you know that this circumstance that may be out of your hands is doable in mine. So don't take it in yours. Leave the situation in my hand. Do not worry. Recognize that with Solomon, in all of his own glory, in all of the things that he did to give himself these wonderful things, and all these things that he thought he needed to make himself happy, all of these things weren't as glorious as that field that completely depends upon me. And I want to challenge each and every one of you. What are those situations? What is the first thing on your mind? When you wake up in the morning, what is it that you're thinking about? When you go throughout your day, what is it that you're thinking about? Don't get so distracted with the things that don't matter. Put first things first. And if God, who was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, if this same God is not the first thing in your priority of how we live our lives, then there is something wrong. There are moments where being a Christian means that I have to be outside of who I would normally be. There are moments when I want to be, when I want to retaliate, when I want to let someone know that what they did is not okay. When I want to tell someone that they need to remember to stay in their place. And then God sends someone that reads us a verse that says, in my trouble, in my distress, I cried out to the Lord and he heard me. And isn't it enough to know that God hears us? Not that God is doing it the way I want him to, but he just hears me. And the text says, but seek first the kingdom of God. And in the book of Matthew, that is the theme, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let out into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard and paid everyone the same price, whether or not they worked as hard as me. The kingdom of heaven is bigger than I am. The kingdom of heaven is about letting God be God. The kingdom of heaven is about bringing a piece of the character of God into the lives of the people around you. And you know, when John the Baptist was preaching in Matthew chapter 3, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And that's when he saw Jesus. And when Jesus began his ministry in the Galilee, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Is the kingdom of heaven in you? What are the priorities in your life? What do you worry about? Are you worrying about what you think God isn't doing? Or are you worried about what I'm not doing to get into a deeper relationship with God? Because I tell you what, I can protect my mom all I want. But if I don't have a relationship with her, if I don't spend time with her, if I don't kiss her every day before I leave and tell her I love her, if I don't do things for her that make her feel special, if I don't set my time aside, if I don't take those moments where I take my cell phone and purposely leave it in the car, telling her that I will not pick it up during this meal, then my relationship is in vain. That I'm just a person that's there. If I don't remember her birthday, she's hurt. If I don't call her to check up on her, she thinks I've forgotten about her. And how much more is it in our relationship with God? I can protect God all I want as if God needs my defense. I can say what I want about who God is in my life, but if I am not remembering to celebrate God in my life, those things are in vain. First things first. Am I spending time with God in my prayer life? In here it talks about before the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. It says, when you pray, chapter 6, verse 5, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of streets, and that they may be seen by everybody. But assuredly, I say to you, they already have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heretics do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need before you ask him. And he gives us what we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer, as an example for prayer. Are you taking your time? Are you shutting your door away from anybody else that may see you, that you may come into a deeper relationship with God? Are you opening the Word, the Scripture, and reading from that and letting that speak to you? Are you seeking how you treat other people? Are you seeking that a way to treat people in such a way that it reflects that you believe in a God who is full of mercy, full of grace, and who by definition is love itself? What are you worrying about? What is the first priority that you have? When you make your plans in life, Josie, when you make your plans in life, are you planning to have me in the center? And church, I think that God asks us all that same question. And I want to tell you that it will be a lifetime struggle, but it is my desire that in my life, that the way that I live it brings joy into the lives of others. We already have enough things to worry about. We already have enough people that make our lives just a little bit more difficult. We already have people that tell us that we're not good enough and have had that all of our lives. We have already had people that say that they will give up on us. And if I believe that I'm supposed to bring the kingdom of heaven and God's righteousness, not even my own, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, I believe that if I can do just a little bit of bringing the kingdom of heaven into the lives of someone else, then I am doing what God has called me to do. And if no one that I speak to converts from not believing to God to believing in God, if I want to just know that I have been faithful in allowing God to experience what it's like to be around a person who has God in their life. And I do not want to bring destruction, although sometimes when I open my mouth, I do offend people. And sometimes when I say things that I mean to care for someone, it's taken in the wrong way. And sometimes I may not say everything, I may not do everything right, but I know that in the center of my life, in my devotion to Jesus, in my devotion to God, that I am coming into a deeper relationship with Him, and God knows that He and I are going to always be struggling to live life in a way that brings the kingdom of heaven into their life. Church family, will you take that challenge with me? Will you make with me first things first? Will our church continue to be a church that lifts people up not only in prayer, but by word, deed, and action? Our challenge is not an easy one. But I don't want to worry about the things that aren't important. I'm going to take responsibility for who I am with Jesus. And I'm going to make sure my life changes those around me. Let's do it together. If there are those of you who are visiting today, you want to learn a little bit more about who this Jesus is. There are some invitations to belong, and you don't have to be transferring your membership. Maybe you just want us to pray for you. We pray every staff meeting. We go over names of people who have asked for prayer, and we would like to pray for you. And if you would like to learn a little bit more about what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist or what it means to be a Christian, just let us know. Hand us one of those sheets to anyone that is standing in the back in one of those three rooms. Two elders will be on either side. I'll be in the middle. You can hand any one of us a slip with that invitation to belong, with your prayer request, with your desire for baptism, with your desire for getting to study the Word a little bit more. Just let us know. We want to live life with you. And we know that God does not give up on us, and God is constantly faithful to us, and we want to share that with you. And so as we go on with our week, may this not be a moment where we come to a well, get our drink for the week, and go back home. But may this be the highlight of the relationship and the devotion that we are already having with Jesus. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to know you. We thank you that Scripture sometimes takes us and challenges us to be more than who we are. We thank you for the fact that you are constantly working on us, God. May we always be in deeper relationship with you, and may we bring the kingdom of heaven through our words, our actions, our lives, and our deeds, God. May we live life together in a way that reflects you, and your word says that they will know that they are Christians by our love, God. May you, in our lives, make that love a reality. In this church, may you make that love something that makes other churches jealous, God. And we thank you in advance for what you are already doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, and amen.